Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
Cause I spilled a frappuccino in my lap and burr, it was cold. I sued Toys R Us cause I swallowed a Nerf ball and then he choked to death. I sued Petco cause I ate a bag of kitty litter and now I got bad breath.
It's so hard to jump in. I'm listening to Weird Al and I'm loving this. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, I think it's Rage Against the Machine. He's doing something with their song, but I felt the whole suing.
Sure.
You know, litigation thing.
Yeah. Sets. Well done, man. Next time I ask for chocolate before I do an interview, can you say no?
Okay.
I'm salivating way too much here.
At least it's not milk chocolate. That would really mess you up.
Oh, man. Well, yet another American megachurch is immersed in accusations of wrongdoings. So Julie Royce decided to do what she does best, investigative journalism, in order to find out the truth in the world of megachurch mistruths. You tell I have a bit of an attitude with this one.
And chocolate in your mouth.
According to an article in Christianity Today last October, Harvest Bible Church and Pastor James McDonald, quote, sued Ryan Mahoney and Scott Bryant, along with their wives, that's classy, who run the Elephant's Debt, and Julie Royce, who was reporting on stories of mismanagement at the Chicagoland megachurch. Is that an amusement park, Chicagoland? For defamation. Today, Julie is going to bring us up to speed on the evidence that she actually did uncover that led a Christian ministry to sue her into silence. I want to just kind of say at this point that the lawsuit was dropped. But I also at this point need to realize that I don't even know the right jargon to use in all this stuff. So now I'm sitting here scared. Julie, am I going to get sued for interviewing you?
You never know, Drew. I mean, I hope not. I never thought I was going to get sued either, but you never know. Live dangerously.
Live dangerously. What is wrong with you that you have to keep poking at the wounds of the body of Christ? Someone asked me that once about 10 years ago on a television show. Basically, they said, why do you have to keep doing this, Drew? Why do you have to keep poking at the wounds of the body of Christ? And I didn't know how to answer that. Have you ever had someone say to you, Julie, why do you keep diving into the armpit of Jesus?
Well, I've never heard it put quite that way.
Oh.
But I think what I hear a lot is, you know, why are you airing the dirty laundry? This is going to hurt the body of Christ. This is why unbelievers don't like Christians, because they hear things like that. And it's not something I relish in. In fact, this story, I didn't go looking for it. I had actually come off the heels of doing an investigative report and blowing the whistle on the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And I think because of that, I became like this magnet for people who had issues that they wanted exposed or wrongdoing that they saw. And so I got into this because people came to me and they begged me to look into this. And they said, you know, we're victims of spiritual abuse. And some of them had, you know, really horrific stories of bullying. And then they knew about some financial improprieties. And it bothered me. I mean, one, because I care about people who are victims and I could hear their pain in what they said. And as I began to hear their stories, I realized that they were credible and that they were hurting, and I didn't want that kind of hurting to continue. But secondly, I just I think we often in Christendom, we talk a lot about God being a loving God, and he is love. I mean, it's the whole reason Jesus went to the cross, right? It's because he loved us so much. But he's also a holy God. And that's why Jesus went to the cross as well, because he had to pay for our sins, because there has to be a punishment for sin, because God just can't, like, wink at it. And so I think these twin things of God being love, but him also being holy, is the sort of thing that compels me to do my work. I mean, Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And 1 Timothy 5:20, it says that if there's an elder who's persisting in sin, that you're supposed to actually rebuke him publicly so that others may stand in fear. So God takes the holiness of his church and his reputation seriously. And so if somebody's running it through the mud, God cares about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I feel like my pursuit is, you know, driven by God in a Holy Spirit kind of fueled pursuit.
You're on a mission from God, to quote the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
When I came back, I was a pastor in Australia for 5 years, and when I came back, I looked in the mirror and said, who are you kidding? Dude, there's no way you should be in any form of spiritual leadership. Knock that off. So I stopped. And along the way, especially the last 16 years of doing this show, I have come across so many people that are in spiritual leadership that just should not be in spiritual leadership. And then people go, well, you're never going to find anyone perfect, Drew. You're never going to find anyone. Okay, you're just taking your it's not an extreme. Like, come on. I know you're not going to find someone perfect. That's not what I'm talking about. But when it comes to deception or choosing to live in the darkness or double life stuff or I don't know. And I think this is the crux of why I like what you do is you are – I don't see you as a fecal matter disturber. I see you as someone who is – opening up the blinds to a dark room so that the mold won't continue to grow. How's that for an example?
Well, it's actually what Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis said. He said the best disinfectant is sunlight. And so I believe that. That's why I went into journalism. I believe that there is a fourth estate, and we should take our job seriously, and that is to shine light on things and to tell people the truth, especially about matters of public interest. And when you have a church, especially a mega church, that's taking millions of dollars and people are giving their life savings to it and they're investing their life, they want to know that that money's being spent properly. They want to know that the leaders at the top aren't hypocrites, that they're walking the talk. And, you know, it's interesting, though, that you mentioned that thing about, you know, if you're not sinless. So, and I've heard a lot of people say to me, well, who are you? Are you perfect? And it's interesting. It says in Scripture that we should take the plank out of our own eye, but it's not just to take it out. It's so that we can remove the speck out of our brother's eye. So there is that idea that as Christians, we're supposed to hold each other accountable, and God expects us to do that. He actually commands us to do it. And so I think it's a worthy calling.
You know, there's something about... Okay, so I'm not sure if I want to go here, which usually means I am going to go there. So let's go there. So I'm not a big fan of the prosperity doctrine crap. So when someone falls in that ministry, I kind of inside have a little childish, immature chuckle. But I also have the same for those who come from certain what I would, and it's just me, my perspective, I would say that there might be a bit of legalism in some of these places. And they hold themselves up as sort of high and mighty, and then boom, they come crashing down. And I have that same childish little giggle. So a couple things that come out of this. One, I need to grow up. Two, what was the thing about the harvest? What's his name? James McDonald. What's the thing about the James McDonald harvest thing that you felt the most... what's the right wording here, Julie? That you wanted the world to know the most about. What was it about Pastor James McDonald and Harvest Bible Chapel that you wanted the rest of the world to know more than anything else?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the hypocrisy.
Okay.
And there were actually, about 5 years ago, 8 former elders came to the sitting elders at Harvest, and they had written up basically 20 disqualifying traits that are mentioned in Scripture, because Scripture is really clear. If you're going to be a pastor, an elder, a teacher, you need to have certain characteristics, and you can't have certain disqualifying characteristics, like being given to outbursts of anger or love of money or, you know, these sorts of things. You have to walk the talk, right? And so they came to the sitting elders, and they expected, because they wrote them down, you know, in this letter and said, if you'd like us to, we can come. We have specifics, and we also can bring witnesses. They brought this letter outlining this, and eight of them signed to the elders. And instead of launching an investigation, what the elders did was within 24 hours, they created a video excommunicating the only two former elders that were still at the church, censoring a third, and basically kicking the, you know, telling people in the church, you should have absolutely nothing to do with these men, named them by name, and then put it out online. So that, to me, was absolutely shocking. Now, a year later, there was an apology, a public apology, because I think the church was really feeling the pressure and the consequences of doing that. But after this public apology, again, I'm coming on the scene 4 years later and having people come to me and saying, it only hasn't gotten better. I think it's gotten worse. And then we have the pastor saying, right in the midst of this, between the excommunication and this apology, it's about a year difference, he actually came forward and said, you know what, my lifestyle, which he had taken a lot of heat for, this love of money, my lifestyle, I'm going to willfully downsize my house, or move into a, you know, downsized house, and I'm going to drive a more modest car. Well, he did move into a smaller house, but then he creates a trust and begins building a much larger, well, not much larger, it's like 6,900 square feet. The previous one was 6,700 square feet. But it has a 10-car garage, a more than 2,000-square-foot basement. And then he's lying about it to his people, saying he's living in a smaller house. I mean, that kind of hypocrisy, and to have that coming from the man who's preaching the word to people, yeah, and being a representative for God, I think that's the sort of thing that just turns everyone's stomach. It's just not right. And so, yeah, that's probably the thing that got me the most exercised about it.
Julie, why did you get fired from Moody? That you were on air with them doing a podcast or something, and they canned you? Is that it?
I had a radio show with Moody, and a similar type thing where a number of professors came to me and expressed really angst about some of the things that were going on. Another situation where there was a culture of intimidation and fear, and then there were professors that would complain about some who weren't upholding and living according to the doctrine that Moody espoused, and felt like instead of the administration looking into it, they would fire them. But we had things with the money, too. We had the president of the university, or of the Moody Bible Institute, who took a $500,000 loan to buy a $1 million condo. Well, he sits on the trustee board, and that's self-dealing. That's a disqualified person according to IRS standards. If you're on the board, you can't be taking $500,000 loans from the board. They see that as improper. And so I reported that. There was another issue of self-dealing where somebody on the trustees was allowed to live in a pretty luxurious apartment, was kind of given to him that he could come and use whenever he wanted to. And I had people that said that he was using it kind of as a second home. Now, he denied that, but there was a lot of evidence supporting that he was using it that way. So it was that sort of thing. So I blew the whistle on it, and I knew full well when I did what was going to happen, and it did. I got fired, and, you know, there's consequences.
We're also living in a time, I don't even know how to handle this. Look, I started doing research in all this stuff with Harvest Bible Chapel and James McDonald. Started doing the research because I haven't been involved with the church scene for a very long time. A rash begins to grow every time I start looking into this stuff, and I don't want that rash to come back again. So I stopped doing the research, and I just want to come at this with you with just some pretty open questions here based on what you're saying, based on my original questions. So you've said a couple of times, Julie, you know, certain leaders have been accused of bullying or, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you know darn well that we're living in a bit of a snowflake era. where everyone's feelings are getting hurt and the snowflakes are, you're a bully. And they throw the bully word around left, right, and center. Now, I'm not saying that I want a world filled with Mark Driscolls. But
Mark and James were good buddies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but strong leadership and someone that says it and says it like it is and blah, blah, blah. I think there's a need for that. But how do you trust all the nonsense coming from the snowflakes? Left, right, and center. Oh, and they're writing a letter and I was offended. And, you triggered me when you said, oh, my goodness. So where's the balance, you know? I don't even know if that was a question.
Well, I think what you bring up is valid. I mean, is this just people who are way too sensitive and getting their feelings hurt? If people read the World Magazine article that I did, and the standards were extraordinarily high for this. Not only did I have to have first-person, like, eyewitnesses to these accounts going on the record, but I had to have corroborating witnesses. And a lot of that was based on 1 Timothy 5, again, where it says if you're going to bring an accusation against an elder, you need to have two or three witnesses. And the kind of stories I had, Drew, were not ones where I think most people would say, well, that's crazy. They're just being too sensitive. One of the situations, for example, there was a picture of a pastor who apparently had fallen out of favor that was up on a wall. And according to two eyewitnesses who were there, said that James McDonald yelled at the camp director and said, why didn't you get this down, picks up a knife, and starts stabbing the heck out of this thing. And the thing falls down. And everybody that's watching is just kind of stunned, right? And accordingly to the witnesses, they said, there's kind of this awkward silence. And then everybody acts like it didn't happen. And they're like, that's the kind of fear and intimidation that he just sort of nurtured there. I had somebody who came on staff and said there was almost a feeling of dread among the staff. I have another story of when he took pictures of elders' wives that were out of favor, put them up on a wall, and shot them with a pellet gun, and actually assigned point values to hitting them. I don't think that's the sort of behavior where you say, well, they're just being snowflakes. That's a little too sensitive. I mean, I think that's where you say, this is disturbing behavior in anybody, let alone a pastor.
Okay, so here's the thing. In the real world, if this dude did this kind of stuff with the people I hang out with, we would pummel him. And I'm not advocating violence. What I'm saying is we just wouldn't put up with that crap. So he has surrounded himself and created. This is part of this mega church thing that I have a problem with. It's like the big celebrities, like the Michael Jacksons of the world, surrounding themselves with doctors who will give them drugs that they shouldn't be having. These people. And I'm sorry, but I hold the Christians' feet to the fire, not the leaders. For you to willingly sign up and sign off on this kind of subculture, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little weirder here now. I keep saying sorry, it's so Canadian, but speaking of Canadian, Julie, this is an American phenomena. You guys are nuts when it comes to lifting high your preachers. You're nuts.
Well, just so you know, James McDonald was born in Canada.
Oh, crap. Are you kidding me?
No. He is from Canada.
I want to apologize.
Yes.
For James McDonald.
And Senator Cruz.
Why, was he born in Canada?
Yeah. Oh. Well, his dad's Canadian.
And Justin Bieber. I want to apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
But no, I mean, Drew, in all seriousness, that's the thing that really does grieve me, because there's a lot of good people at Harvest, and all of my sources were from Harvest. And it's bad, and it breaks my heart that so many good people, and there are some staff, I think, not at the top, but I think lower level, who really are seeking to do the right thing. And many people are just unaware. That's the thing. When you get a mega church, you don't necessarily know what's going on at the top. You don't know the pastor. You see him get up and preach. It's really dynamic. And it's interesting, the word hypocrite apparently comes from the Greek word that means actor. So he's a good actor, and he fooled a lot of people. And, I don't know the condition of the man's heart, but I do think a lot of people, and this isn't the only scandal we've had. You mentioned Mark Driscoll, who did very similar things, type of bullying type behavior. And there's been just in the Chicago area where James McDonald is from, where I live, there's been another church, Willow Creek, where the pastor, big megachurch, Seeker Movement, sort of started the whole thing. And that pastor, Bill Hybels, recently had to step away, and every single one of his elders stepped down because there had been allegations of sexual harassment, and the elders didn't handle it properly. And so I think one of the questions that the church is asking itself is, how do we allow this to happen?
Yes.
And I've seen, too, I've talked to numerous high-level people, you know, pastors and people in Christian organizations. They knew this was going on. They didn't speak out. There's this fear, because if you speak out, what will happen to you is exactly what happened to me when I spoke out. You'll get fired. You don't get invited to the conferences. You get canceled from the conferences. You know, you're on your book tour and you need these guys to scratch your back. I mean, this is the whole evangelical,
yes,
you know,
subculture.
Infrastructure. Yep. And it's wrong, yep, and it's perverse. And that's, you know, honestly, that drove me as much as anything, other than these, you know, specific people. It's just how perverse the system has become of publishing and conferences and mega churches. And we've become corrupted as a church. And I really think, and this is what I pray for, because, I mean, I love Jesus, I love his church, and I pray that there'll be refinement in his church, that there'll be reform. Instead of the church laughing at us because we look as bad as they do or even worse, that we could actually be what we were meant to be, and that's a city on a hill, the salt of the earth. And we're just not. And to me, we need to repent of that, and we need to be sorry before the Lord about it.
What was it? Was it Assisi, Tim, that said, the church is a whore, but she's my mother?
Yes, I believe so. Or Aquinas, one of the two dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that before. And you know what? And that's where I you know, for me, I've been in the church a long time. My parents were missionaries. I was born in Africa. I love the church, and I've seen so much good that I can handle this. In a way, I mean, it's not like going to ruin my faith.
No, yeah.
But there's a lot of people that it does, and it's like, oh, they're all hypocrites. And I know they're not all hypocrites. In fact, I know so many people who have lived out their life a great sacrifice because they love the Lord. And I have a personal relationship with the Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say that. But I'm not going to turn my back on his church because there's some bad actors and because it needs to be purified. I'm still part of it, for better or worse.
You go, girl.
Mm-mm.
Julie Royce is on the line with us. Her website is julieroyce.com. Julie Royce is also an author, has written numerous books. She's a speaker and journalist and a veteran radio host. Sorry, I think I said podcast. This makes you sound like you're doing it from your mom's basement. Sorry. Okay, so the lawsuit thing. Let's finish with that. Man, you and I could talk. This is so intriguing to me, and yet so irritating, so we need to stop. When I was reading the bio, the setup there, it talked about how James McDonald and Harvest Bible Chapel sued these guys with the elephant men and their wives. What was the point of suing the wives? Is that just what people do these days? When you sue widely and bigly.
Well,
that's
he
a good
put
word.
Pictures of wives up on the wall. I guess he was just.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just yesterday in Chicago, there was front page news where a guy who used to be a shock jock in Chicago, a big radio personality, but he was a friend of James McDonald. But he just recently kind of had his eyes open to what James has been doing. But he tells the story behind it, because he said, you know, James had told him, don't read this stuff of these people, what they're writing about me. None of it's true. And he's like, you know, I believed him because he was my pastor, and he had led me to the Lord. And so, yeah, I just took it at face value. And I said, well, if they're lying about you, then you should take action. And he gave him his lawyer's number. And he said that James said at that point, yeah, I'm going to sue them. And then people will be scared to say anything bad about me because they'll be afraid of getting a lawsuit. And so he sued me. He sued me before I had published anything. It was simply I was doing my investigation, and I had reached out to some of the people, because it's always my practice to get the other side and to give people a chance if they're being accused of something to give their side of the story. And so I'd started to do that. So word got to him that I was doing it, and before I could publish anything, he slapped me with this lawsuit. And I really think the elephant that they had been like sort of a protest website for like 6 years. They hadn't published something in almost a year. So I think he wrapped them in, and then he tried to make it seem like we were somehow aligned or had colluded on this website. Right. I didn't know anything about it till, I mean, I'd heard about it, but I'd never talked to them till April of this past year. And they had published, the last time they had published something was before that. So we'd never colluded. It just was, and I think bringing the wives in too was part of the intimidation tactics, and it was shameful. Mm-hmm. And and then when he dropped the suit because I began doing discovery and subpoenaing people and getting information, and they sued or they filed a motion with the judge to suppress all that and to keep all the subpoenaed documents private because they're very damaging. And that was denied by the judge. It's like, if you're going to sue and bring something into the public, don't think you can keep all your stuff private. And so the minute that happened, he dropped the suit. And I'm glad he dropped the suit on some levels, but on others, it's like kind of a reporter's dream to get subpoena power. So I was enjoying being able to get to the bottom of things pretty easily.
Man. All right, let's finish with this, Julie. By the way, thank you again for, I'm sure you must have just done a million interviews as a result of all this. So thank you for giving a rip about Canada. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Speaking of Canada, there's a Harvest Church down the road. Do I need to be scared of them?
I don't know anything about your Harvest Church down the road. But there are some Harvest churches that are completely independent. And in fact, part of the story was that there was a church planting network called Harvest Bible Fellowship with more than 150 independent Harvest churches. That Harvest Bible Chapel governed, and James McDonald kind of dissolved that within a day because they began asking questions about how he was handling their finances. And there's a lot more on that in the World article I wrote. But the one in Canada, how aligned is it? Some of them continue the alignment through a new church planning network that Harvest started when they dissolved Harvest Bible Fellowship called Vertical Church Network. Whether that's a part of it or not, if I lived there and there was a Harvest Church and I wanted to know, I would call and ask about the relationship, and specifically how closely aligned are they with James McDonald and Harvest Bible Chapel in Chicago.
Yeah, because that was what Harvest was known for, was this cookie cutter, assembly line product. They would pop up here and pop up there, and the only way they could pop up is if they did it the way Harvest headquarters wanted them to do it, right?
Well, they had a whole training center and a residency program. Yeah. Where they'd bring pastors in and train them, and yeah, there's five pillars, which aren't bad pillars. I mean, a lot of them are, really good. But you had to kind of sign on to the five pillars, and there was a sort of marketing thing. But I also know from someone who saw the pitch and felt like, wow, this is just like marketing the church, and they felt really uncomfortable with it. So, I can't speak from first-person experience with that. Some people have a lot of trouble with it, and I certainly understand those concerns.
Sure. Well, just another message to those of you in the flock. Wake up. Ask questions. Don't be so naive. And the bigger your place is, the more you need to wake up, as far as I'm concerned.
Preach, brother.
I'm such a wise man. I have no idea what I'm talking about. All I know is that Julie Royce is an author, is a journalist, is an investigative reporter who is scratching at stuff that needs to be scratched at. JulieRoyes.com. Well done. Yeah, really well done. I wish I'd say I got your back, but I don't know what that would... I don't have any money, so I can't help.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I've enjoyed talking.
Thank you, Julie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
JulieRoyes.com. You know what I don't like is doing interviews, and in the back of my head is this running commentary going, you shouldn't say that. Ooh, maybe you shouldn't say, oh, what if he, will you get a call from? Oh, what if they, and the lawyer, and his, and how about if you offend?
I'm excited, because, if it's the whole planting based on a system, it's like McDonald's. I can go anywhere in the world and have the same sermon, and it'll taste this, just the same.
Well, why do you think he has the last name? McDonald.
Never thought.
Wow. You're like, really? You didn't put that? The Amazing Kreskin?
I was just going to say, I've never met you before, am I?
Tim is referencing the first guest we had on the show today, the Amazing Kreskin. If you missed his interview, you can go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, by the end of the week, and you can listen to that interview right there.